In today's Mishnah, we're in the sixth and final Mishnah from the 11th Parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, and then we'll begin the new Masechta, Masechta Makot. And the Mishnah continues with various prohibitions that are punishable with chenek, with strangulation. The first is Hamit Nabe B'Shem Avodah Zarah. That is someone who prophesizes in the name of some sort of idol worship. As the Mishnah now explains, Omer Kach Amra Avodah Zarah, such and such that this idol convey to me. It says, even if the message that he's giving over is consistent with halacha, nonetheless, because he's saying in the name of some sort of avodah zarah, that is punishable with chenek. Next is habaal eshedish, someone who's in a relationship with a married woman. So we said, kivan shenichnasa l'rushut habaal nesuim. Again, referring to where she's already a nesua, when she's already married. If you remember, there's a stage prior to that which is erusin, and that was punishable with a different punishment, as we already learnt. So the Mishnah says here, that as soon as she's already, if you like, being handed over, the father of this girl hands her over to the shluchei habal, the messengers of the husband, and they had a relationship on the way. Even if she has not yet had relations with her husband, she's already considered married, and habalaya, if someone has a relationship on the way, we say hareza bechenek, it's punishable with strangulation. The final case is that of zomamei bat kohen obala. Now this really is important to understand this case because it's an introduction to the next Mishnah, or the next Masechta. What is Edim Zolmimim? Edim Zolmimim are false witnesses. How do we have the state of a false witness? We're going to learn about it in the next Masechta. That is, if two other witnesses can come along and say, how is it possible you can provide testimony in this case? Imano hayitim b'makom ploni. You were with us in a completely different location at the time that you claim you have witnessed such and such an incident. What we learn, the Torah teaches, is that they receive the reciprocal punishment. In other words, that which these first witnesses testified to try and make the accused lose, whatever punishment they tried to make him receive, they receive themselves. And we'll learn about that soon. So the first exception to this principle is what we'll learn in this Mishnah. And that is that these false witnesses who said that a Bat Kohen who had an affair with another gentleman. And the issue here is the Bat Kohen would receive a punishment of Srefa, as we've learned, the daughter of Kohen, and the person who had a relationship would get a punishment of Chenek. Both capital punishments, but different. One is burnt and one gets Chenek, strangulation. So the question is, what punishment do these Edim Zolmimim get? So Mishnah says, Shekol HaZolmimim Makdimim Tomita. Ordinarily, we find that Edim Zolmimim receive exactly the same punishment they're trying to inflict on the falsely accused. In this situation, we say, Chutz Mizolmimim Bat Kohen Obo'ala. In this case, we find it different. They receive the punishment of Chenek. They don't receive the punishment of Strafe, which they're trying to inflict on this innocent Bat Kohen, but rather they get the punishment that they tried to give to the gentleman that they accuse of having a relationship with. And why is that? That is because the Torah specifically says, Kasher sazaman la'asot la'achim. One source is that it's what they want to do to their brother. So here we've got a male and a female, so that it's a punishment that they tried to inflict on the achiv that these Edim Zolmi, these false witnesses, would receive. Similarly, the punishment that's given to a Bat Kohen who had an affair, it says, Et aviyah hi mechalelet beshti saref. It says, aviyah hi mechalelet, she desecrated her father, being the kohuna, therefore she will get this punishment, Srefa, and not the Zolmimim. So with that, we finish Masechta Sanhedrin, and we'll begin Masechta Makot, which is almost appears to be a direct continuation, so the Gemara explains, of the previous Mishnah. So because the Mishnah asks, Ketzad Edim Nasim Zolmim, really should be translated here, that we find that we have false witnesses do not receive a reciprocal punishment. The Mishnah begins by saying, Midin Ani B'ish Ploni, if two witnesses come and testify about a particular individual, that is a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. Importantly, Ben Grusha is, despite the fact his father was a Kohen, his father married a divorcee, which means this individual is not a Kohen, he's a Halal. And if we're dealing with a Chalutza, that means he's a Halal Midarabanan. So a Chalutza, if you recall, that's a woman who, unfortunately, husband passed away, didn't have any children, and the surviving brothers were meant to do Yibum, all the process of Chalitza, which we learned about back in the Masechta Yavamot, the process through which she is free to marry whoever she pleases. Chachamim said that's quite similar to divorce in its appearance, therefore a Kohen's not allowed to marry a Chalutza either. Again, the important thing here is they testify this particular Kohen that he's effectively lost his Kohen. He's not really a Kohen, he's a Halal. So the Mishnah explains, we don't say Yaseh Zeh Ben Grush or Ben Chalutz. We can't, even if the witnesses, they themselves were Kohanim, we can't say that they become now a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. Why? Because it doesn't fit in with the Pasuk. It's a Vasitim law, you do to him, this witness is Kasher Zaman Asot, what they wanted to do to this person. If you make this person a Halal, these false witnesses, it doesn't affect them, it affects their children as well. So therefore, since you cannot give a reciprocal punishment in this situation, you give them a different punishment. Ella loka arbaim, they receive 40 lashes, which is really 39 lashes instead. Meidin anul bishploni, another case, if they testify about a particular individual, shu chayiv legalot, they testify this individual, they killed someone by mistake. and he has to run to the Ari Miklat. He has to go to Galut until the death of Kohen Gadol, which again we'll learn about, I think, in the next perek. It says, Einon, when we don't say, well, they tried to make him go to Galut, so we'll just make these Einon Zolomim go to Galut instead. Elo, they receive instead, Lo Ke'arbaim, they get 40 lashes instead. Why is that? Because it says, Hu Yanos Elachate Remeilu, meaning the person who killed the Shoge by mistake, it says specifically, he has to go to one of these cities of refuge. The Torah, by saying he, comes to exclude in the situation of Edim Zomemim. And the Kati Gisatza Gemara goes into more detail how we learn that the default punishment, when reciprocal punishment can't be administered, is 39 lashes from the Pesukim. But let's continue with Mishnah. Mishnah says, Me'idi Anu Pish Ploni Shegeresh Et Ishto. What if the person says, Tosfos falsely about a particular individual that he divorced his wife? And they said, V'lon Tana Ketubata, and he has not yet given her Ketubah. So they're trying to make him effectively lose a sum of money that he has to give this woman as a result by divorcing her. The difficulty with this case is, eventually, whether he divorces her or he dies first, she's going to receive the sum of money. So they're trying to effectively make him lose his money, but by testifying falsely, they try to make him lose his money early, but it's not as if he loses money completely, because he's going to have to pay her ketubah out at some point. So we say, look, omdim kamadam rotzeli ten b'ktubata shel zush imnit almana undikarsha the imeta yerushana bala. So both the wife and the husband have various rights or claims to this sum of money in the ketubah, because the husband only has to pay his wife, or the sum of money is only paid to the wife if he divorces her or if he dies first. However, she dies first, the sum of money would be retained. So therefore, there's different explanations here in terms of how we calculate it, but the first explanation, Kati, is we look at how much someone would want to pay for the woman's rights, meaning how much would someone pay for the woman's rights in this ketubah, that if, in the event that she's divorced or that the husband dies first, they could get that sum of money. Now, it's not going to be equal to the full sum of money, because there's a chance that maybe the woman will die first and there's no sum of money will be paid out. So therefore, what we do is look at that right and then subtract it from the full amount of the ketubah, because that's the sum of money they're trying to make the husband lose out. There's another simpler way of understanding is that we simply look at this is the way the Batanura explains it, that we simply look at how much someone would want to pay for the husband's rights to the ketubah. In the event that the wife dies first, he would retain that sum of money, and how much someone would pay for the husband's thing, that's how much they're trying to make the husband lose in this case. Consequently, that's the amount they have to pay the husband. Next, Meidim Anush Ploni Shu Chayv Lechavro Elef Zuz. This is a similar case. The witnesses testify that they said that a particular individual owes another person 1,000 Zuz. And the conditions of that loan was that he had to give him to him within 30 days. Almanat Liten Lom Hikan Vad Shloshim Yom. V'hu Omer, the accused, says, actually, that's true. I did borrow that sum of money. However, Mikan Va'asa Esa Shanim. But I didn't have to pay in 30 days. I had 10 years to pay off the loan. So in other words, you can't say that they tried to make this person lose out of Elef Zuz, because again, 10 years time he was going to have to pay that sum of money. So how do we calculate what the reciprocal punishment should be? So Mishnah says, Omdin kamtan rotzen liten l'shiyu biyadu Elef Zuz bein notnen l'mikan v'ad shloshim bein notnen mikan v'ad eser shanim. In other words, there is a monetary value that they were trying to make him lose out, and that is how much someone would want to have the loan, if you like, extended to have this money in 30 days rather than 10 years' time. So there is a monetary value we can place that will make this individual lose out. In other words, let's say indeed this loan had to be paid back in 30 days, but someone would have paid not 11 zuz, 100 zuz to have this money, this loan extended for 10 years. Well, that's the amount of money they're making these borrowers lose out, and that's the reciprocal punishments. That's what these false witnesses have to pay the borrower. Those are Mishnah today.